Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Pharisees and the scribes were right in this observation about Jesus. This man receives sinners and eats with them. That was undoubtedly true. Wherever Jesus went and taught publicly, the tax collectors and sinners would usually crowd around him. And when they did, he did not send them away. All the more, Jesus himself often sought out known, notorious sinners during his ministry. Yes, even to eat with them. Sinners like Matthew, the tax collector, whom Jesus would even call to be one of his apostles. Mary Magdalene, who had once been afflicted by 7 demons. And the tax collector Zacchaeus. Yes, the Pharisees and the scribes had seen Jesus' ministry, and they noted that he was not afraid to receive sinners and eat with them. And they thought this was the most insulting thing that they could say about Jesus possible. They thought they were saying just about the worst thing that could be said of any man. For they knew well what the law of God said about sinners. After all, they were experts in the scriptures in the Old Testament. And so they knew full well the close of the commandments, just as we have learned it from the small catechism. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate me. They knew what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. They knew what the prophet Ezekiel had spoken. The soul who sins shall die. They also knew from the scriptures that God in his holiness would have no fellowship, no communion with sinners at all. Adam and Eve had been cast out of the Garden of Eden because they had sinned against the word of the Lord. And the way back into that garden was blocked by an angel. Later, Isaiah the prophet cried out in woe because he, a sinner, had seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And as our men studied recently at our breakfast Bible study, the prophet Haggai had reminded the priests of Judah that just like the uncleanness of death polluted whatever it touched, so the sins of the people polluted all of the works of their hands, no matter how good those works may have seemed. And so for the Pharisees and scribes, the conclusion seemed rather obvious. This man, Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. And therefore, this man, Jesus, is a sinner too, as corrupt, as defiled as anyone else. But while the Pharisees and the scribes were right in that observation about Jesus, they were absolutely, completely wrong in what they concluded. Jesus sinners doth receive. And in these words, there is hope. Hope for all who grieve. These words are testified in the Old Testament, words that the Pharisees and the scribes should have firmly believed, but they did not. They should have believed the words which we ourselves heard from Micah this morning, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. They did not believe what the Lord said about his grace and mercy, and therefore they did not plead with the Lord on behalf of sinners, like Moses did in the book of Numbers. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. They didn't believe what the scripture said, and therefore they did not cling to what the psalmist confessed in Psalm 85. You forgave the iniquity of the people. You covered all their sin. They didn't even continue reading in the book of Ezekiel. If they had, they would have found these words spoken by the Lord. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? As Jesus would later say to their contemporaries, the Sadducees, you are wrong. because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. The power of God, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, is revealed in his grace and mercy, in receiving sinners, in eating with them, in forgiving them. The Pharisees and the scribes were woefully mistaken about this because they were woefully mistaken about their very selves. The Pharisees and the scribes not only were in error regarding God's mercy about sinners or God's mercy toward sinners, they were in error regarding their own sinfulness. Namely, they didn't see themselves as sinners. The Pharisees and the scribes did not confess themselves to have sinned. At least not like the tax collectors and the sinners who were drawing near to hear Jesus, those whom Jesus received. Yes, perhaps they had erred once or twice, but they would never have confessed themselves to be sinful. It's not for nothing that Jesus would later tell a parable in which a Pharisee stood by himself and thanked God that he was not a sinner like other men. These Pharisees despised sinners. They wanted nothing to do with them, thinking that if they had any contact with tax collectors and sinners, they would be defiled also. Really, these men didn't have any idea what to do with sinners. They didn't have any comfort, no peace, no forgiveness to offer them. But Jesus does. Jesus receives sinners. Jesus eats with sinners. His words, rich grace revealing, pardon, peace, and life proclaim, in him our ills have perfect healing. This hope is for those who grieve. This hope is for those who confess that they deserve but grief and shame. This hope is for those who come to Jesus with a penitent confession. For it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. The Messiah who receives sinners and eats with them may not be good news to the 99 who presume that they need no repentance, but rather to the one who confesses himself to be a lost sheep, the one who acknowledges that he is but a lost coin. It is good news that Jesus receives sinners to the sinner who confesses himself to be estranged from God, even an enemy of his, who finds no comfort, no peace, no support in this world, who recognizes that he is so entangled and buried so deeply, body and soul, in sin, who has experienced that sin is truly the corruption of mankind and brings nothing but heartache. Yes, it is to this one that there is no greater relief for the soul than these words, Jesus sinners doth receive. This is the confession that we all made this morning. It was with such words that we ourselves began the divine service today. We spoke together, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. We make this penitent confession because this is what God has first spoken to us in his word, in his law. Those passages which the Pharisees and the scribes knew all too well are indeed the word of God. They are true, and they apply to each and every one of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. The word of law, the word that condemns sin and sinners, the word that speaks of God's holiness, is absolutely correct. And we do well to make that our confession. And yet we do not make that confession with despair, with hopelessness, with resignation toward an eternity in hell. No. Rather, we draw near with a true heart to make this confession, with all boldness and confidence. We do so trusting that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We do so trusting that the Lord, unto whom we confess our transgressions, will forgive the iniquity of our sin. Yes, even in this penitent confession, we are received by Jesus. We eat with Jesus, just as those who did so many years ago were received by him and ate with him. For these words we now believe, Jesus sinners doth receive. This boldness and confidence to draw near to Jesus even in our sinfulness cannot come from our own reason or strength, which is blinded and corrupted by sin. It does not come from the law, which rightly and justly condemns our sins. No, rather it comes from the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, who leads us all to true and godly repentance, that is, both contrition, sorrow for our sins, and faith. Faith in the one who is the friend of sinners. Faith in the one who has paid for every transgression. In this true godly repentance, we stand before Almighty God. We confess that we are indeed poor, miserable sinners. And yet at the same time, we pray that God would be gracious and merciful to us poor sinful beings on the basis of his boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The infinite mercy of God, known in the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross for the sins of the world. This is what gives us boldness and confidence to believe that Jesus sinners doth receive. For as the Apostle Paul once wrote, who was himself a former Pharisee, as you recall, to us who are being saved, the word of the cross is the power of God. Paul had been led by the Holy Spirit to confess his sinfulness, that he was even the chief of sinners, to repent of those sins, and to believe in his Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died even for him, the foremost sinner. So it is only sinners, only those sheep that heedlessly, stubbornly, even willfully ran away and could only stray further into danger. It is only those coins that lie dead and hidden in the dust and could do nothing toward being sound. Only the sinner who confesses that he is dead in trespasses and sins, hostile to God. Only such sinners find comfort and joy in the good news that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. To teach the Pharisees and the scribes this truth, he told the parables which we heard today, that he is indeed the good shepherd, the savior of sinners, who came to seek and to save the lost. In this parable, we see how deeply our Lord Jesus cares, even just for one single lost human soul. For us men and for our salvation, he became man. He would not bother if he wasn't filled with love for you. But because of his boundless love toward you, he shed his blood, paying for your transgressions, that he might make you and the entire sinful world right before God. And now, even now, his entire concern is for lost sinners, that they might share in the salvation that he purchased and won for them. And therefore, he continues to seek and save the lost through his word. He sends that word forth through preachers and teachers, whose message is heard even by lost and straying, rebellious sinners. He sends Christians into the homes of their families and friends to admonish them. It's through the mouths of humans, Christians, that the voice of the Good Shepherd sounds. And yes, he speaks a word of rebuke. He speaks the law. He points out the wrong way that sinners are traveling. He brings before their eyes the hell to which they are heading. He threatens them with death and curses and destruction. He strikes them down and brings them into fear, alarm, and terror. But he does this for their good. He wounds them in order to heal them. He shows them the horrors of hell that he might deliver them from that place of woe forever. Having brought low by the law, then through the preaching of the gospel, he brings comfort and consolation to the sinner. Through the good news of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, He brings peace to the troubled conscience. Through the word of him who bore the weight of the world's sin on himself and paid its terrible price in full, we hear and learn there is acquittal from the curse of the law and remission of every sin. Yes, through word and spirit, Christ himself draws the sinner back to God. And as Jesus says in this parable, when he has found that lost sheep, the sinner, he then lays it on his shoulders and carries it home. The Christian life doesn't end when we are found by the shepherd. We are sanctified. We are kept. We are preserved in the Christian faith. The sinner, now saint, is carried by Jesus, walking the right way as a new man. Faith kindled in your heart by the gospel is light and life. And therefore you do fear and love and trust in God. And therefore you are careful to avoid falling away into your former evil paths. But make no mistake, as Jesus says, this new life, this new walk is being carried by him. It is Christ who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He preserves you from sin and error. He gives you strength to resist the devil, firm in your faith. And when you stumble and fall, when you stray as a sheep is prone to do, Christ lifts you back up upon his shoulders again by the word and carries you once more. He has patience with you in your weakness. For he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. He gathers the lamb safely into his arms and brings them home. And no one will be able to snatch you off of his shoulders. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord. No one will be able to rob you of faith and heaven. For you are secure in his almighty hands, Jesus Christ, who is himself God and Lord. This man receives sinners and eats with them. To the Pharisees and scribes, this was a terrible offense. And so they spoke these words about Jesus with scorn. But Jesus, note that he did not rebuke them for this statement. He didn't try to correct what they had seen. Only to correct their conclusion. Only to correct them regarding the effect of this receiving and eating. Yes, Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. And it is his great joy to do so. He is the friend of sinners, their Savior. And so even the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven rejoice with exceeding joy when even just one single lost soul is found. And that undoubtedly includes the Pharisees and the scribes themselves. True, they refused to admit their own sinfulness. They thought they needed no Savior. They rejected Jesus, and therefore they willed to remain lost even if it meant eternity in hell. But Christ the Lord did not take pleasure in their death any more than he takes pleasure in the death of any sinner. Rather, he willed that they should turn from their way and live. For they, just like us, just like all, are sinners, lost sheep, lost coins. If we were to continue reading in Luke chapter 15, lost sons besides. And for this reason, Jesus would seek them out also, as they too were lost. Again, he proved this by seeking out Paul, a Pharisee, he who persecuted the church. While sinners were still weak, robbing and cheating, committing adultery and many sins besides, while they were still sinners, plotting and scheming against Christ, while they were enemies of God, mocking and scourging and crucifying the Lord, still sinners remain sheep, coins, and sons in his eyes. Christ died for all the ungodly, every sinner ever to live. And by his death, he has reconciled the world to God the Father. He loved them. He loves them still. Above all, he desires the reconciliation of sinners. Whoever those sinners may be, tax collectors, Pharisees, scribes, you and me. There's no greater shame than and sadness than to see a lost sinner continue in his wicked way and refuse the shepherd who seeks him out. But Jesus, the good shepherd, will not stop seeking. He seeks and saves the lost. He receives sinners and eats with them. He did. He does so still today. Thanks be to God, we praise him with these words. He receives sinners still today in mercy, just as a shepherd receives a lost sheep and carries it safely home. He eats with sinners. He did with Matthew and Zacchaeus. He eats with us now, today, in the sacrament of the altar, which we are soon to receive, in which Christ himself is both host and meal. At the altar, Jesus not only eats with sinners, but he gives his very body to be eaten by sinners and his very blood to be drunk by sinners. Indeed, he gives you this body and blood because you are sinners. As he absolutely declares, it is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And therefore rejoice. Be glad. Jesus sinners doth receive. In his name, please stand. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.